This is Girl Got Jesus. This is your host, Olga. Welcome or welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to dive right into today's topic. But before we do, I'm going to let you know that this is episode 18 and we are going to be talking about surrender. I'm excited as usual, and I hope you are too because there's a lot to learn about what the Bible says, and I really want to get really deep into the Proverb 16:9 today, which says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." So that's going to be our big verse of the day, Proverbs 16:9. I'm sure you've heard of it. I'm sure you're familiar with it, but what does that really even mean? So before we begin, I'm going to pray and then we're going to get right in. Thank you, Lord Jesus, so much for this listener. I'm so thankful that they're here taking time out of their day. Thank you for this opportunity to be in the mic, to be with your word, Jesus, to be always in your presence. I hope that everything I say, Lord, glorifies you, that it's your message that speaks through the mic, not my words, God. Please bless this listener on the other end, that they go encouraged and that they go uplifted and that their understanding of your word just grows through this podcast. That's all I hope, Jesus, that their relationship with you is strengthened and that they're able to trust you on a deeper level. Thank you so much, Father. In your name, Lord, I pray. Amen. Alrighty, you guys. Proverbs 16:9. 16 verse 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. What does that even mean? What does that mean to you? So the Bible is not telling us, do not make plans. Do not, plan out your weeks. Don't plan out your days because you don't know what's going to happen. But what it is saying is that you can plan all you want, but truly it's the Lord that directs our steps. He knows what's going to happen and He wants us to make plans, but He also wants us to submit those plans to Him and to let Him be the final answer, the final decision. Because when we are holding on to our plans so tightly, we don't allow God to fill in the holes, to fill in the blank spots, the places that might have gaps that might not be what God has for us, because we're holding on so tightly, like a, toddler holding on to a candy bar that they're not allowed to have until after dinner. And it's like we just have to stop and say, Jesus, I made these plans, but I also know that your will be done, not mine. So I give them to you, Jesus, because I want this to work out the way I'm planning, the way I'm, hoping, but it doesn't mean that it will. So my question is, how is our faith when things don't go as planned or things don't go our way? Things don't go according to plan. Are we anxious? Are we bitter? Are we derailed, angry? What emotion comes to mind when you made a plan and it didn't go the way you thought it would? So you guys know that God created each and every one of us with a purpose that He wants to pass. And when we are so tightly holding on to the way we want to live, it just takes me back to the Israelites on how they were rescued out of Egypt. And instead of saying thank you to God for their freedom, instead, they were complaining and grumbling and saying, why are things not going the way we thought they would be? Why are things not going according to our plans, according to what Moses told us? And instead of getting there in 40 days, it took them 40 years. So they never even saw the promised land because they were so set on their own thinking. And so many of us fall into that. I think about it so often because as you read the story, you think, oh, well, I would not do that. I would just trust God and I would just keep walking to the promised land flowing with milk and honey. But, if we stop and think about our own lives, how many times do we push back on God's plans because we're wanting to be in control? We're wanting to be our own gods. We want to know what's going to happen. We are so addicted to control. We're so addicted to certainty, and we don't let God have His way because of that. So it's like hard to see while we're in it, but then looking back, it's really clear that we're not allowing God to do what He wants in our lives because we're holding on to this control. so much. We're not surrendering. It takes me back to that picture you might have seen. I'm going to probably put it as the background to this podcast. It's a little girl holding a little bear. And then there's Jesus kneeling in front of her holding a big bear. And the basic message is, if she'd surrender and give up that little bear, God has bigger and better for her. But he needs her to surrender that little bear to him so that he can give her the better. And so many of us live like that. At least I do. I know there's things I'm holding on to in my life that if I was just to let go, God has better. But I think that the root of all of it is that we don't trust God enough. We think that we know what's better. We are ourselves after all. But we have to stop and think, God created us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And as much as we like to discover ourselves and do all these personality assessments and, you know, traits and things we have that God did instill into us, God knows us inside out. He created us. It's like you drew a picture, you know what's in it. It's not a guessing game for him. He knows us inside and out. So Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. It's telling us that God has a plan for our lives. He didn't just have Jesus die on the cross for us and then let us do whatever we wanted to have our own way. He had a plan all along. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He had a plan all along. We are his workmanship, and we are created for good works. Even before we were born, God already knew what those works were that he had in mind. But all too often, I feel like we don't live out those plans because we're just holding on to our plans so tightly. And when things don't go according to our plans, we question God, we question our life, we question everything and think, why are things happening the way they are? Well, it can be backtracked to Proverbs 16:9, like I said, where it says that a man's heart plans his ways, but it's the Lord who directs his steps. It's such a big, big thing because even though we are made in the image of God, we plan our ways because that's how God is. He made a plan for the world before. So it's good to plan, but we need to know that God directs our steps. Everything that we make, every plan, it needs to be surrendered to God for his ultimate will. And I'm just speaking from experience. A lot of the plans I make almost have nothing to do with God's will. It's like for my own, you know, well-being or my own life. And that's where I've been really convicted lately, is like, is my time and my resources and my decisions, my calendar, all of that reflecting my values? Is it reflecting Christ? Is it reflecting our Savior, our Creator? Or is it, I want this, so I'm putting this on the calendar, and I want this outcome, or I need this item, and it's all in my calendar and in my plans? Or is it God's will, what God wants for us? I think that's the biggest thing we need to ask ourselves, is that are we making these choices, these plans, based on our values? And if you value God, then that might look different than your friend's calendar. That might look different than your neighbor's calendar, because if they're not making plans according to God, according to what they value, if they're not believers, then it's going to look completely different. It should not look the same. Just like your calendar is probably very different if you have children in your life versus if you don't. I mean, I personally don't see myself making plans to be at a play place if I don't have any kids. That would be kind of weird and kind of creepy, unless I'm taking like a niece or a nephew. But if I don't have kids in my life, I'm not going to like mom groups. I'm not going to these events where it's parenting education and all that stuff. You know, does that make sense? So, same with our plans. When we make our plans, we need to stop and look at our values. What is important to me, either in this season of life or in general, or what's important to me in life overall? So, when you list out your values, you should be able to make your plans and plan your calendar around those values. So there's still going to be so much resistance, you guys. If any of you go to Bible studies, you know just how much resistance there is on days you have a Bible study because the enemy, he's at work. He's always running around looking for someone to devour. So don't forget that there will be resistance. But I mean, when plans just don't go according to plan. Like, I woke up one morning and I had already a whole agenda for the day. I was gonna go apple picking with the kids. I was gonna go to like a dachshund race. And next thing you know, my husband's like, "Oh, I'm not working today, so we can go out of town." And I was like, "Oh, I already had a whole agenda for the day with the kids by myself." And then I stopped and I was like, you know what, God, thank you. Thank you for a family day because we don't get those often. And I just saw it as almost like a gift from God. Like, here you go. Here's a family day for you. Don't hold on too tightly to the plans you made because I have better for you. And you know what? It ended up being such a wonderful day. So many memories and so much goodness and wholesomeness in that day. And it really humbled me because, you know, there was an option to be bitter and say, "Oh, well, I already had all these plans and I wanted to do all these things and I was already set on it." Or there was the option to surrender and say, "Wow, this could be a blessing in disguise. I just need to surrender my agenda, surrender my plans, because at the end of the day, it's the Lord that directs our steps." But we do have a choice how we're going to react when things do not go our way. So I would be praying for that. I'd be praying for the Lord to humble us, to really just allow us to see things from His lens through glass half full perspective, and to really just show us that even though we want things a certain way or we need things a certain way, we have that need for control. A lot of times God is just saying, just trust me, just surrender it to me. And just trust me that I have better for you. So I just want to ask you guys, how are we doing in that today? Because it's a constant battle, you know? Some days you wake up and you think the sky is going to be blue and sunshine, and next thing you know, it's pouring rain. But it's the Lord that gave us this rain. So maybe He wanted you to do something else with your day than you had originally thought you would. So much, much easier said than done. I would not be able to be this deep into this without praying for discernment and for Christ to be in my heart, because at this point in life, there's so much uncertainty. You know, one day you wake up and you're in a warm, cozy home, and the next day you don't know where you're gonna be. So just count your blessings and just surrender that everything we plan. Just hold a lot, like a really, really loose grip on it. Don't hold on to it too tight. You know, if being a mom has taught me anything, it's that we make things harder for ourselves when we can't let go. Like, we can't let go of our plans. We can't let go of our dreams. We can't let go of our fill in the blank. And it's the resistance that makes things harder. It's, you know, the idols we're clinging to and holding on to so tightly that we can't surrender that really make our life a lot harder than it should be and a lot harder than God intended it to be. So back to Ephesians 3:20, which tells us that God can do abundantly more than we ask or think. And I just love that verse so much because even when we think that we know the best, we know all the answers, and we know the outcome. God can do more than that, so much more, but it does take a certain surrender to know all the things that God can do. Because if we're holding on so tightly to whatever it is, we won't know what that more is, that more that God wants for us. Jesus is the perfect example of asking God to take something away from him, to change his mind, to change the plan. And when he goes up to pray in the garden, he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." That is Mark 14, verse 36. And that's when Jesus is in the garden talking to God about what would happen to him on the cross. And you can see his heart behind it. He doesn't want to do it, but he knows that he needs to do it. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he doesn't want to, like he doesn't want salvation for us. It's more about if there's any other way, God. It's that consulting with his Father saying, please, if there's any other way. And, you know, there was no other way. It was the only way. That was the plan that God had. And Jesus surrendered to it. He just fully surrendered no matter what it takes. He didn't resist the plans. He didn't say, I'm going to try a different way. No, he fully surrendered. And that's the example for us, is that even when there's things in our life that we really don't want, that we're just like, oh, if there's any other way, God, sometimes God will say, this is the way, you need to do this, you need to obey. And it's a hard walk sometimes, you know, this life is not easy, and nowhere in the word does it say it's going to be an easy walk, but that surrender, I think, should give us a sense of peace that God is in control. We are not. And sometimes I just honestly think that he reminds us that we're not in control with the small things to almost prepare us for the bigger things that happen in life. Because, you know, it's one thing to have a weekend not go as planned. But then it's another thing when a big, huge thing in your life changes your trajectory, or your plans change for your whole life because of a certain big event, you know, something that happened. And I think that just kind of like, the more you go through those little things and the more you're able to say, okay, God, I'm trusting that your plan was higher and better, it prepares us for the bigger things that can happen and probably will happen. Not trying to discourage you guys, but you know, life does not go according to plan a lot. That's why it tells us not to worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink, because you can plan it all out, but that does not mean that it's going to go exactly how you planned it out. So I'm a big fan of, you know, planning and making like action steps and all that stuff. But God has definitely taught me that it's not always going to go according to plan. And that's okay. You know, most of the time it is even better. And if you don't see that right away, maybe down the line you'll see that it was God's plan all along, that his purpose that prevailed. So, you know, we have so little control over our lives, and yet we act like we are in charge. We act like we are so in control, and the only reason we're in control is because God allows us to be in certain ways, but truly it's his hand. He has the upper hand. So we need to always remember that, and we need to pray about God softening our hearts to know that things will not always go the way we want, the way we plan, the way we need or think we need. And his ways aren't just higher, his ways are better. To wrap it up, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, just because I feel like we could all use a reminder when we're so anxious and worried, that the Bible does tell us not to worry. So therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I'm in this season of life right now where God is really telling me not to worry, not to start spiraling down the what ifs, down the anxieties of what is tomorrow going to hold. Because he's reminding me that he is holding tomorrow, and truly all we have is today. Today and this present moment that you're in right now, that's all you have right now. So when your mind starts going to the future, just remember that you might not even get there. So why are you so anxious about it? Why are you so set on having things a certain way planned out, when who even knows what tomorrow holds? Only God knows. And maybe it's just me. I don't know if you guys are in this with me, but I'd spend a lot of time like in the future thinking about uncertainties and trying to figure things out and trying to plan. And the more I'm just stopping that bad habit, the more he's showing me that he will provide. He has a good and perfect plan. And if I just stop trying to manipulate every little situation, he's going to provide in ways that I didn't even think were possible. So when we're so holding on tightly to our plans, let me just say, we don't allow God to do his work. And he, I think, takes pleasure in providing for us and doing things for us that we might not want him to do for us, in a sense. We might want to be the ones in control. But when God takes over, it's even better. So I don't know if that made any sense. A little bit scatterbrained, but God is just so good. And meditating on his scripture and meditating on his goodness and his grace and his kindness, his holiness, is just, it changes your life. It changes the way you see things, and it helps you to trust him. So I'm also being convicted that anxiety is a sin. And the other day I just had a thought, like, how are we different from this world if we're running around anxious and, you know, like our chicken heads cut off? When we trust God, that doesn't really align. It doesn't really make any sense. So if we're just like the world, anxious and thinking about all these things that really don't even have lasting value sometimes, how are we different? How are we standing out from the crowd? How are we Christ followers? You know, that's what should make us different, is that our hope is found in Christ, that we trust him, and that we're not just worried and anxious and trying to have everything figured out, because there's freedom in surrender. And I'm saying this to myself because it's so hard to surrender. It's seriously the hardest thing. I don't know why, but we just all want to be in control. At least I do. And God is good. God is in control, but we forget. So just going to read one last thing and I'm going to wrap it up. So the last thing I wanted to mention is that you'll give God anything when you believe that he is everything. So when we believe that he's everything, when he's all that we need, that's when we'll give him anything. That's when we'll give him our plans, our desires, our hearts, whatever it takes. We give it up when we believe that he replaces all of that. He is our everything and he should be our everything. But when we're pursuing other things, that's when we can't have God as our everything. So is God your everything? That's what I want you to think about. I want you to pray about that. That if you had nothing else, absolutely nothing else in this world, would God be enough? So thank you, Lord Jesus, so much that I had this opportunity to read your word to share all the things, Lord, that you put on my heart to talk about and to really just share my heart, Lord, behind all of this, because you are working in us and through us, and you can do abundantly more than we ask or think. So Jesus, thank you for this opportunity again, for this listener, for taking time out of their day to hear your word and to be here present in this current moment that we have. I pray over their day and I pray over their plans, that they don't hold on to them so tightly that they don't leave room for you, God. Help them to really remember that you are in control, you are in charge, and no matter what happens, you're holding the world in place and you know the outcome. It's your purpose that prevails, Father. Thank you so much for Proverbs 16:9 that says, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Thank you for that, Lord. And let us remember that, and let us to surrender and to trust that you have a plan and your ways are higher. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Alrighty, guys. Thank you again, and I hope you have the most blessed day, and I'll see you in the next one.